Today is Thursday, January the 16th, and this is Kathy bringing you news from the Vermilion County area, starting with the commercial news. Front page today says, Townie honored. District 118 recognizes field service to the district, by Carol Rome. Retired Danville District 118 Superintendent David Fields was honored for his service and dedication to education Wednesday during a grand opening of the district's administrative center that was named for him. A large crowd of community members attended the ribbon-cutting ceremony, open house, and public tour of the Dr. David L. Fields Administrative Service Center at 110 East William Street. Most of all, the community was there to celebrate Fields, whose career with the district spanned 41 years. Superintendent Alicia Geddes said she was aware of Fields before becoming Danville District's 118 superintendent 4 years ago. He is one of the black superintendents I had heard about, and I looked up to him, she said. I hope this building makes him proud. It reflects the qualities of the man for whom it is named. Lloyd Randall, who asked the school board in 2016 to consider naming the new administration building for Fields, also spoke about Fields and his contributions to the community. Fields taught social studies at Northridge Middle School and Danville High School, was administration director for Title I funding, was principal at Northeast Elementary School and East Park Junior High School, served as assistant superintendent for 8 years, and then superintendent for 10 years, starting in 1991 and retiring in 2001. In addition, Fields served on the Illinois State Board of Education for 10 years, from 2004 to 2014, and as executive director of Laura Lee Fellowship House for 31 years. We're here to honor a man who puts others first so others could succeed, Randall said. Dr. Fields is a man we all love and admire. Randall said he talked to Fields' wife of 66 years, Marion, who told him she's so proud of his accomplishments. She told me he's the best thing since sliced bread, Randall said. Fields described himself as a Danville townie whose family was poor but made education a priority. Thank you for this honor you've bestowed on me. This means the world to me, he said of the building at dedication. I'm truly a townie. My parents were poor, but education was important first and foremost. This meant so much to me to come back today and see people with whom I've worked and known over the years, he said. One of these people was Fields' lifelong friend, Irvin Lucas, who was his neighbor growing up and his classmate at Jackson School from 1941 to 1949. We grew up together and we went to school together, Lucas said. We were like brothers. As he addressed the crowd, Fields expressed his appreciation for all who were there and sprinkled in some funny memories of his time in the district. I really, truly appreciate everyone who came out on this beautiful day, he said. Fields also thanked Geddes, with whom I have grown to have the greatest respect and love. He recalled his days as an administrator, and one day in particular when he was the dean of boys and questioned a DHS student named Mark Denman about what he was doing outside the classroom. Our purpose was to keep kids in school, but Mark Denman always had to write an article for the Maroon and White, he said. I don't believe he was ever in class. Fields quipped about the former superintendent, who retired in 2015 and also attended the event. Fields said he also was thankful for the staff who worked with him during his time in the district, many of whom were in the audience. You need the staff to work with you, and I was always blessed to have a staff who worked with me, he said. During his tenure on the State Board of Education, Fields said, I had the opportunity to travel to school districts across the state, but I was always pleased to come back home. We need to teach our children the importance of an education, he said. It takes a village to run this district, and everyone in the community needs to buy in. District 118 adds classes at DHS, by Carol Rome. Some new courses will carry college credit. Members of the Danville District 118 School Board on Wednesday approved several new courses to be offered at Danville High School starting next school year. The new offerings include a college prep math course, a chamber ensemble music class, a botany class, 2 dual-credit social studies classes, namely Western Civilization 1 and 2, and an introduction to family and food sciences class. Board members also reviewed a proposal for a business entrepreneurship class that would be offered next school year. The Family and Food Sciences class and the Business Entrepreneurship class are both part of the Career and Technical Education, also known as CTE, program. The College Prep class, math class, will allow DHS students to take it for free at the high school rather than pay to take a remedial math course if they attend Danville Area Community College after high school graduation. The 2 dual-credit social studies classes will earn DHS students college credit while they are still in high school. Introduction to Family and Food Sciences will focus on four areas: nutrition, sanitation and wellness, food resources and preparation, family dynamics and development, and visual and apparel merchandising and hospitality foundations. Board member Lon Henderson said he has been stopped in grocery stores and restaurants by parents who are excited to have food sciences return to the high school. He added that people also have asked whether food sciences would be offered starting in the seventh grade. The business entrepreneurship class, which is part of the CTE program's third-year expansion plans, would be for juniors and seniors and include a business incubator. Local business people would be recruited to sit on a board of directors or be a part of the instruction themselves. Teams of two or three students would develop projects in the incubator that they would present to Shark Tank experts. Todd Birch, who teaches economics and principles of business, would be in charge of the business entrepreneurship class. "If you've seen Shark Tank, you'll see where this is going," he said. "The students will work together as a team to bring forth a project." Birch said that CTE already has received a grant from Burlington to help fund the startup of the business incubator. "There's public support out there for this," he said, adding there is no shortage of student interest in the class either. "I have a student who already has formed a nonprofit corporation, and some of my students will fix your iPhone for a fee. I want to attract the student who might be put off by accounting," he said of the class. Also on Wednesday, board members reviewed a first reading of the Maternal Infant Early Childhood Home Visiting iGrow Program Memorandum of Understanding, which is a partnership between District 118 and other county, state, and federal agencies to serve Vermilion County children and families through home visiting programs. The partnership connects families to resources and supports such as health care, development service, early education, parenting skills, child abuse prevention, and nutritional education or assistance to make a difference in a child's health, development, and ability to learn. Approved updates to the Board of Education policy, which includes identifying all single-occupancy restrooms as all-gender, as required for law by public schools. Reviewed a first reading of the district's math audit and math instruction improvement plan. The recommendations to support student growth include SAT professional development with the DHS math department, K-12 support in math lesson planning, professional development regarding math approaches and strategies within the school day and after school hours, modeling in the classroom, and refining math scope and sequences. Archers to take aim at Danville High Contest. A record number of archers from Illinois and Indiana are expected to participate in Danville High School's 6th Annual Archery Competition, the ULLR Classic, this Saturday at the DHS Fieldhouse. Opening ceremonies start at 7:45 a.m. with the National Anthem and the JROTC Color Guard presenting the organizational colors. Lieutenant Colonel Retired Timothy Marriott, DHS Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps Senior Army Instructor, said Ryan Schull and Brock Atwood, who are the head coaches of Northeast Elementary Magnet School's elementary and middle school archery teams, and Northeast School Secretary Kim Corley, who also is involved with archery teams, will shoot the first ceremonial arrows at 7:55 a.m. during opening ceremonies. The first flight starts at 8 a.m. Awards will be presented following the ninth and final flight time that starts at 4:30 p.m. The public is welcome to attend and watch as many as 90 archers be on the line at the same time, which will be one of the largest displays of archery in the entire state. A free will donation will be asked at the door. The grandparents of a former DHS JROTC cadet will run the concession area and sell pulled pork sandwiches, hot dogs, pickles, nachos, popcorn, candy, and assorted beverages. In addition, chances will be sold for a drawing to give away 25 gift baskets. Northeast School raised some funds, and the ladies there are fixing up 25 gift baskets, Marriott said. They even have a plasma TV they're giving away. The Euler Classic is a fundraiser for the JROTC program that helps promote good citizenship. The event has continued to grow from 282 archers during the inaugural event in 2015 to this year's record 725 archers. The Euler Classic spans more than 9 hours, and last year brought several hundred spectators into the community. Three divisions, elementary, middle, and high school levels, will participate in the competition that is sanctioned by National Archery in the Schools program, also known as NASP. "The community really shows up and supports us," Marriott said. "And of course, all the parents of the archers will be there." 24 DHS archers, who are also JROTC cadets, will participate in the competition, while other cadets and parents will serve as line judges. Northeast Magnet's elementary and middle school archery teams also will debut at this year's Euler Classic. 16 sixth graders are on the middle school team, while 27 fourth and fifth graders comprise the elementary school team. I'm excited about having an elementary team that starts in fourth grade instead of having an archery program that starts in ninth grade, Marriott said. This year, 23 elementary, middle, and high school teams from across Illinois and one school from Indiana will participate in the competition that is composed of 9 flights, each an hour long. Every flight starts on the hour from 8 a.m. to noon, and then after a break from 12:30 to 5:30, Marriott said. The final flight is expected to conclude at 5:30 p.m., with the award ceremony at 6. Awards will be given for top first, second, and third place in each division, as well as the top 10 archers individually in each division at the conclusion of the tournament. The funds raised during the competition will support the DHS JROTC program, which was established at the high school in 2013 and has 147 cadets this school year. JROTC's sole purpose is to motivate young people to be better citizens and to help them get into college. We also will be supporting Northeast's elementary and junior high teams, and the money will help with the drill team and a senior trip, Marriott said. Last year, we went to McCormick Museum in Chicago. The proceeds also help pay for different activities that we put on, such as giving the kids an opportunity to experience a military installation, he said. It's a long drive, but some of these kids don't have the opportunity to leave the state. Archers who participate in the Euler Classic and other NASP competitions will have the opportunity to advance to the state competition March 27th through 28th in Springfield and the national competition May 7th through 9th in Louisville, Kentucky. NASP, who partners with JROTC to provide the rules and scoring platform for the competition, was developed to serve specific educational and conservation purposes. The NASP program was designed to help educators find ways to improve student motivation, attention, behavior, attendance, and focus. And now I wanted to share this story with you from the News Gazette for today. Danville legend to join rock royalty. Now featured at our Guy's College of Business-sponsored U of I at 150 and Beyond website. 1960s Illinois undergrad and 2003 Danville High Wall of Famer Irving Azoff, who we learned Wednesday is 4 months away from another impressive induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's editor Jeff DeLazio with 20 things you ought to know about the music mogul and proud Vermilion County native. 1. As he rose through the entertainment ranks, CEO of Ticketmaster, CEO of Live Nation, manager and agent to the stars, he never forgot where he came from, Danville, Illinois, 61832. To this day, he told us a while back, I credit my Illinois upbringing with giving me my work ethic and street sense. All who experience downstate Illinois upbringing are a fortunate lot. 2, Azoff checked out the U of I before finishing his studies, but does hold an Illinois degree, an honorary doctorate in music awarded in 2003. A favorite U of I memory, the summer of 1968, when a certain album with a catchy title track debuted. I still remember when Hey Jude was released, Azoff says. I went to buy the album the day it came out at that little record store upstairs on Green Street. I had walked over from our little blue jean bell-bottom retail store next to the brown jug called No Hassle. We were grossing more than Redwood and Ross. 4. His first real client was a fellow Illini, the late great Dan Fogelberg. Azoff left CU for L.A. in 1970 to promote the future leader of the band. What I remember when I think of those early days is that we were just so damn cocky, Fogelberg said in 1997. Not arrogant, but so full of ourselves that we never ever imagined it wouldn't happen. Because Irving gave us that. He was just brash as all get out, and he gave us that confidence. 5. The man loves his custard cup. The Danville version, that is. Ending an email to us just last week with, have a custard cup for me. When I left home to attend the U of I, we were living on Ridgeview Road, about a quarter of a mile down the street from the custard cup, he says. I must have consumed thousands of fudge sundaes and a lemon custard, washed down with chocolate ice cream sodas. On hot summer nights, we would have round one, then speed across Lake Vermilion in someone's father's convertible with the top down, then right back to the custard cup. 6. He's practically the fifth member of the Eagles. When the band was inducted into the Rock Hall 20 years ago, the first person Don Henley thanked at the ceremony was Irving Azoff, without whom we wouldn't be here today. At which point, Glenn Frey chimed in, "Well, we might still be here. We wouldn't have made as much money." Number 7. Among the other A-listers he's represented over the years, Van Halen, Bon Jovi, Christina Aguilera, Fleetwood Mac, Journey, Steely Dan, and of course Champagne-born REO Speedwagon. 8. He's one of several famous former Illini who hail from Danville, a club that also includes former NASA astronaut Joe Tanner, Oscar winner Gene Hackman, and state Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman. 9. Just how big a player in the entertainment business is he? In 2012, when Billboard magazine created its Power 100, he occupied first place. Azoff's placement at the top of the list is due to his command of the biggest concert promotion company, the largest ticketing company, and the largest artist management firm in the world. Best advice Azoff has ever been given? Return every phone call and letter, or email now, and it says we can attest that he does. Long before he worked in the business, he caught the music bug. First concert as a kid, the Beach Boys at Indiana Beach. Most memorable concert growing up. It was August 20th, 1965, Azoff says. My dad and I drove to Chicago to Kaminsky Park to see the Beatles. I remember the big Vox speaker cabinets up and down the first and third base lines. We sat on the third base side and barely heard anything but screaming girls, but it was still amazing. 12. Among the slew of awards he's received over the years, 1980 Album of the Year from the Academy of Country Music for producing Urban Cowboy. 13. Azoff has his own IMDb page, having appeared in 3 movies as himself, 2 involving another famous act he managed, Neil Diamond, and produced 21 others, including 1999's The Hurricane, 1998's Jack Frost, and 1982's Fast Times at Ridgemont High. 14. Here's Cameron Crowe of Jerry Maguire and Almost Famous fame writing about the 5'3" Azoff for Rolling Stone in 1978. They call him Big Shorty, the man who rules the careers of the Eagles, Dan Fogelberg, Steely Dan, Jimmy Buffett, J.D. Souther, and Boss Gags. Just 30, he is the enfant terrible of the music business. To get his clients top dollar, he'll rip up a contract, yell, scream, terrorize, stomp, pound, and destroy inanimate objects gleefully. Many of his clients will spend their off hours watching him kill on the phone. 15. A short joke from his early Eagles days, as told in a 2009 Wall Street Journal story titled, "Can He Save Rock and Roll?" with the he being Azoff. In the early 70s, Mr. Azoff gave the famously mischief-prone guitarist Joe Walsh a chainsaw, which became a regular part of the musician's gear on the road. Later, during a tour supporting Mr. Walsh's The Smoker You Drink, The Player You Get album, one hotel couldn't accommodate the two men's request for connecting rooms. So Mr. Walsh used the chainsaw to cut a hole in the wall about as tall as the desk, said Mr. Azoff, and he said, "I made it just your size." At the May 2nd Rock Hall ceremony in Cleveland, to be televised live on HBO for the first time, Azoff will be the co-recipient of the Ahmet Ertegun Award, along with John Landau, best known for being Bruce Springsteen's manager and producer. The honor is bestowed upon songwriters, producers, disc jockeys, record executives, journalists, and other industry professionals who have had a major influence on the development of rock and roll, the Hall says, with previous recipients including Quincy Jones, Berry Gordy, and Dick Clark. You may have heard a few of Azoff's 2020 Rock Hall classmates, 4 of whom have played the building formerly known as the Assembly Hall: the Doobie Brothers, multiple shows in the 70s, then again in 2018, Whitney Houston, 1987 and 91, Nine Inch Nails, 1994 and 2006, and Depeche Mode, 1993. 18. The moment Azoff knew he could make the music business, sold 900 tickets to a teen dance at the VFW Hall in Danville. Upon receiving the Recording Academy President's Merit Award during a salute to industry icons on the eve of the 2016 Grammys, Azoff cracked to the crowd, "I like being a manager, now more than ever. A shrewd manager is essential. Someone has to advise you on dry cleaners, restaurants, chartered jets, and divorce attorneys." He believes the music world would be a better place without the invention co-created by 2 fellow former U of I students, YouTube, and all the others that use Safe Harbor to screw artists, he told us last week. As a countermeasure, Azoff in 2013 founded Global Music Rights Management, which manages leasing rights for artists. Its catalog includes the works of Prince, 934 songs, John Lennon, 204, and Bruno Mars with 202. And now for the obituaries in the commercial news. Helen May Cunningham. Helen M. Walters Holtz Talbert Cunningham, 96, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away peacefully January 14, 2020 at Pleasant Meadow Senior Living, where she was a resident. A celebration of Helen's life will take place at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 18th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville on North Vermilion Street. Officiating will be the Reverend Dr. Dale McNeil of Second Church of Christ. Visitation will be 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the service on Saturday. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery in Danville. Beverly Jean Hobbs. Beverly Jean Hobbs, 90, of Danville, passed away Monday, January 13, 2020. A celebration of Beverly's life will take place at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 18th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville on North Vermilion Street. Visitation will be 9 to 11 prior to the service Saturday. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Susan G. Steinsdorfer. Susan G. Steinsdorfer, 66, of Danville, passed away at 1:55 p.m. January 11th at her home in Tilton. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. Friday, January 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville on North Vermilion Street. Burial will be in the Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, January 16th at the funeral home. Robert Foster. Robert Jean Pap Foster, 90, of Rossville, Illinois, passed away at 7:15 a.m. Monday, January 13th at Iroquois Memorial Resident Home in Watseka, Illinois. Per his wishes, cremation rites will be accorded and no services will be held. Larry Melvin Hughes. Larry Melvin Hughes, 49, of Danville, Illinois, passed away at 2:59 p.m. Monday, January 13th at his home. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Friday, January 17th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Penny Fuller officiating. Burial will be in Stern Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois. Visitation 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday, January 16th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. And back to some news. Homeless man arrested in bridge fire. A propane tank at a homeless encampment resulted in a fire in an unlikely place and an arrest of a man who admitted living there. Danville firefighters responded to Memorial Bridge at 1 p.m. Tuesday for a call of heavy smoke coming from below the north end of the bridge. Approaching from the west side of the roadway, firefighters found brush fully engulfed and a propane tank among the debris. The fire was out within a half hour, but the department remained on the scene until 2:26 p.m. A homeless man, 47, was arrested for criminal trespass to state land and reckless conduct. A second man was released, according to Danville Police Chief Christopher Yates at the Public Works Committee Tuesday night. He didn't start the fire, said Sergeant Eric Olson of the Danville Police Department, but because he brought propane tanks under there, that's why we charged him. It was believed that at least three men were at the scene at the time of the fire and had been using the propane tank to cook. A can of beans was found at the site. Memorial Bridge was closed while firefighters fought the blaze and remained closed until an Illinois Department of Transportation engineer could inspect the damage and make sure the roadway was safe to drive on. The bridge was reopened about 3 p.m. The fire department used three tanks of water putting out the fire and to cool down surface areas. A rain deflector underneath the bridge melted. No injuries to civilians or fire personnel were reported. There is an estimated $5,000 worth of damages to the property. Under sports, under the local Randlett, back extends streak by Chad Dare. For the first time since the 2015-16 season, the Danville Area Community College Lady Jaguars are enjoying the spoils of three-game winning streak. Danville Area Community College improved to 4-7 overall and 3-0 since the calendar flipped to 2020 with a 71-67 triumph over St. Mary of the Woods on Wednesday night at Dick Shockey Court inside the Mary Miller Complex. Tarnisha Young was the leading scorer for the Lady Jaguars with 21 points, while Lauren Wiley added 15 points to go along with her 14 rebounds. Other scores in double digits for DAC were Maria Falanga with 11 and former Bismarck-Henning Rossville Alvin standout had a season-high 10.
The DAC women are back in action on Friday with a road game against Greenville College. The next home contest for the Lady Jaguars will be January 25th against Illinois Central College. Tip-off is scheduled for 1 p.m. And now I'd like to share an editorial for you from, actually it was in the commercial news, but it was first published in the Chicago Tribune on Saturday. It says, cancer death rates show a record drop. Cancer remains a dreaded diagnosis, but there's heartening news. America is showing great progress against some of the most deadly forms of the disease, particularly lung cancer and the aggressive skin cancer melanoma. Researchers have reported the largest ever one-year decline in the U.S. cancer death rate, a drop of 2.2% between 2016 and 2017, according to the American Cancer Society. The rate has fallen resoundingly, nearly 30% from 1991 to 2017, affecting nearly 3 million lives. Anyone who lost a loved one to cancer in that quarter century can applaud this progress. What drove the improvement? Both personal choices and medical advances contributed, researchers say. Lung cancer is by far the biggest killer of the cancers, and smoking, which is also implicated in other types of cancer, has been declining for decades. There are powerful new ways to diagnose and treat lung cancer, and even patients with advanced disease are living longer. It's an exciting time, Dr. Jehody Patel, a Northwestern University lung cancer expert, told the Associated Press. Skin cancer death rates dropped even more dramatically, falling 7% annually in recent years, thanks to improved drug treatments, the report said. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States behind heart disease. It still claims too many lives and strikes at our hearts in personal or public life. We're rooting for you, Representative John Lewis and Jeopardy host Alex Trebek. While treatments have improved, in many cases their toll on patients remains too harsh. Most read DUI charge dropped against retired priest in Orland Park hit-and-run crash that left a teacher dead. The report came with some cautions. Death rates have increased for some cancers linked to obesity, including those of the thyroid, pancreas, and uterus. The New York Times reports, declines in death rates from prostate, breast, and colon cancer are slowing, although that follows massive drops of 40 to more than 50%. There are geographic and racial disparities in death rates. On the positive side, the decline in smoking cigarettes, not that affectionately known as cancer sticks, should continue to pay off for years to come. The HPV vaccine will continue its march against cervical cancer. Immunotherapy shows great promise. And researchers keep chasing innovations in treatment. The Wall Street Journal reports on an approach harnessing ideas from evolution, and stay with us here, control. The approach aims to reduce tumors by just 25% to 50% and make the cancer manageable and leave some in place but without empowering the bad cells that manage to survive. It's a philosophy similar to that used in exterminating bugs. I think pest managers are about 30 years ahead of the oncologist, Carlo Maley, an evolutionary cancer biologist, told the journal. Cancer is complicated, and the solutions are too. Bad habits, pollution, and complex risk factors like obesity won't just go away. But this record year of improvement shows that better choices and investment in more effective and less destructive ways to diagnose and heal are making a dent. Wouldn't it be nice to see the big C downgraded from nemesis to nuisance? And as I said, that was from the Chicago Tribune on Sunday. We have about a minute left, and I'm going to finish up with a Dear Annie column. Dear Annie, though your answer to craving kicks was good, I think it was slightly incomplete. She said she felt completely free, present, and powerful when she scored her first soccer goal and was indeed recalling those feelings. But I submit that any endeavor also has the potential to give those exact feelings of freedom, power, and presentness when it is pursued with practice and then success is achieved. It depends on the intensity of the pursuit, the amount of focus and practice, and how crowd-pleasing accomplishments are. It does not have to be soccer. Successful professionals in all sports and other endeavors, music, acting, academics, experience the same power, freedom, and presentness which come from concentration and focus. This makes me wish I had practiced the piano more. And that was written by Kathy in Virginia Beach. Dear Kathy, I'm printing your letter because I agree completely. Great points. And it's never too late. Go tickle those ivories. And with that, I'm going to wish you a good day. This is Kathy bringing you news from Vermilion County. We'll be back tomorrow.